You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. Visit PaniniAmerica.net today.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
Colin Cowherd podcast presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. No better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's a lot of reasons. It's America's number one sportsbook. Incredibly easy to use. Super safe, totally secure. Super fast payouts in as quick as 2 hours. You're not going to get that anywhere. Also, same-game parlay bets, live betting, it's the best. Hey, if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I did it in 15 seconds. Get started now. Sign up. Please use the promo code Colin so they know we sent you. Please use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up. This is Prime Cuts, the best of the Colin Cowherd podcast. This week, Hall of Famer Chris Webber explained why he's not very high on Anthony Davis and shared what he thinks about Patrick Beverley's antics. Legendary NFL exec Bill Polian shared his insight and upcoming draft thoughts and why he doesn't like Aaron Rodgers not showing up to minicamp. My buddy John Middlecoff, great stuff on the Jimmy G, Trey Lance situation, the DK Metcalf trade buzz, but first, my top takes of the week. So Baker Mayfield did an interview on a podcast, and he just sort of let it rip, let it fly. At one point, he said, on the field, I'm a dickhead. That's never changed. He admits he's got a Napoleon syndrome. He says he felt disrespected by the Browns, and he says he'd like to go into somebody's office and boo them to see how they crumble. He admitted his critics also got to him. You know, Marshall McLuhan is a famous scholar of communications. He famously said, the medium is the message, meaning not so much what you say, but how you say it and where you choose to say it. Baker was lake house with a bunch of buddies. Host is there, camo hat, drinking a beer. Very casual. It's very let it rip. This is where I think Baker Mayfield's personality has never been right to be a quarterback. My wife's an artist. I'm more the compartmentalizer, the observer. We have different personalities. We make it work. But I will never be able to paint like her. And she won't be able to do certain things I can do. I think the greatest quarterbacks have talent, but their personalities match the position. Tom Brady obviously is a great example. So is Peyton Manning. Very calculated, obsessed with preparation. From the podium to a podcast to preparation to the sidelines to pre-snap. You'll see very brief emotional outbursts. A fist pump by Brady. Peyton Manning will occasionally bark at his center, but they're very much under control. Baker's personality is much more comedian, surfer, artist. Highly emotional, let her rip. That, of course, is a big advantage in surfing or a comedian. You lean into your talent, don't overthink it, and just let it go. But the Russell Wilsons, the Peyton Mannings, the Tom Bradys, they understand being a franchise quarterback, everything has to be planned. It's not a let her rip position. Jay Cutler, Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, sort of let her rip personalities. Don't think before they speak. Often way too casual. It's one of my knocks on Drew Lock, the now Seahawk quarterback. I don't need to know Baker's got a Napoleon problem. Right now he's interviewing for a job with every other GM in the league. Do you think they want a quarterback with a short guy complex? Do you think they want a quarterback who says he was bothered by the criticism and had to get off social? A quarterback who said, I'd like to go into fans' cubicles and boo them? He's showing weakness. He's showing an inability to control his emotions, that he doesn't have control of them. They control him. Again, there's a reason certain people flourish in certain jobs. I talk to myself all day. I was meant to talk. It's what I do. I could never have been an artist. There are certain positions I just don't have the right emotional state for. I think Baker's talented, but he almost has a linebacker's personality, a wide receiver's personality. Highly emotional, very casual, says the first thing that comes into his mind. There are a lot of great jobs for that. Quarterback, in my opinion, it's not perfect. So there was a baseball situation yesterday that got people really worked up. Clayton Kershaw, perfect game. After 80 pitches, he was pulled. And this is something that's important. First of all, he's 6 months off surgery. He's an older pitcher. He's very valuable to their World Series chances. It was under 40 degrees. Under 40 degrees. And this is an older pitcher now. Managing that arm and his health becomes really important. We know this in all sports. I totally understood why the Dodgers did it. Folks, sports are not just there. Athletes are not just there for your personal enjoyment. Colin, there's only been 23 perfect games, and Clayton Kershaw only has one left arm. This franchise, the Dodgers, are favorites to win the World Series. Okay. The perfect game is like an award. It's cute. Kershaw's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. His legacy is set. Got one World Series. Would like to have more. Over $100 million in the bank. Okay. To win an award, throw a no-hitter perfect game is wonderful. But Clayton Kershaw totally understood the situation. Sports is not just there for your enjoyment. Big picture. If Clayton Kershaw is 24 and plays for the Mariners or A's with no shot to win a world championship, the Royals or the Pirates, and he's a kid not coming off surgery, and it's game two, you go for it. But the bigger picture for the Dodgers is we're not risking an injury. I'll give you an example. Kevin Durant. Remember years ago he got hurt? He came back in for the Warriors in the playoffs. And there were going to be minute limitations. But he came back and he was on fire. And they stretched how many minutes he played. And he got hurt. Big picture, should have pulled him out earlier. You can't just go with an older, somewhat brittle athlete. You can't just go on current momentum. You have to go into games or series with pitch counts or minute limits. So yes, it drives you crazy. Kershaw agreed to it, understood it. They have bigger goals here than perfect games or no hitters. It's 38 degrees. He's just off surgery, and he's an older pitcher. One thought about the NBA playoffs. The play-in games start Tuesday. The playoffs officially start Saturday. Obviously, the last year, the last year and a half has been really brutal for Ben Simmons. Didn't work in Philadelphia. Part of the Brooklyn trade disappears. There are stories now, multiple sources saying he could play in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And I said this about 2 weeks ago. If Ben Simmons plays and never scores, simply defends and distributes to KD, Kyrie Irving, and the crew, I think Brooklyn can get to the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee and give them fits. They'll beat Miami. I think they'd beat a Boston, easily beat a Chicago if they played him, Philadelphia as well. Ben Simmons' length, defense, and distribution. Forget scoring. If he's tentative in regards to shooting, his size, his length, his distribution, the guy's got multiple gifts. Above the shoulders, who knows what I get? Does he have any confidence? But, I mean, you don't even have to play him big minutes. If they got into a series with a Miami or a Boston and I could get 8 minutes a half out of him, seriously, put him on a Jason Tatum. Put him on a Jimmy Butler. The kid is 6'10 and incredibly long and is a willing defender. And knowing he's not there offensively, you know his distribution and his defense, you would be getting max effort from Ben Simmons. So that is a really, really intriguing playoff story. Now you say to yourself, well, what about the chemistry? Again, you don't even need to ask him to start. If he can be a lockdown defender in spots against the Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum, 8 minutes a half, I think that's the difference in those series. Very rarely do you go into a playoff series and you have the two best closers and lose that series. Their only problem in Brooklyn is length and depth and defense because Kyrie is an atrocious defender. In the NBA play-in tournament, there are no sure things, except one. Bet at least $20 in same-game parlays on FanDuel Sportsbook. You'll get an instant bonus, win or lose. $20. That's right. Not only do you get to enjoy the NBA's best duking it out for the right to advance to the playoffs, but FanDuel's giving all customers a bonus for getting in on the action. Oh, and the more you bet, the bigger your bonus. FanDuel is an official partner of the NBA. Their app is safe, easy to use, and you'll get your winnings fast. New to the FanDuel Sportsbook? Well, sign up today, promo code Colin, to make every moment more. So don't just watch the NBA play-in tournament, be part of it. Bet at least $20 in a same-game parlay, get an instant bonus, win or lose. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan 1-877-HOP PENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of BF Goodrich tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their BF Goodrich test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my
game. That's my game.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net. With some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. All right, let's bring in Chris Webber, the Hall of Famer, Fab Five, five-time All-Star, number one pick, Rookie of the Year, one of my favorite people. I get him about once a year, and I love it. So I want to talk to you about Patrick Beverley, and I know it's a weird place to start, but you know Bill Laimbeer tackled people. Dennis Rodman was a pain in the ass. And, you know, as a Fab Five guy, as a Michigan guy, is that there is absolutely, in my opinion, room for Patrick Beverley. But what is the line, Chris, between being physical and screwing with guys' knees, hurting them? Like, as a pro athlete, I don't know what the line is. What is it with Patrick Beverley? What does he do that bothers you, and what are you okay with?
Man, that's a great question. Thanks for having me on. I think everybody would want to play with him, and a quick Bill Laimbeer story, one of my favorite players ever growing up in Detroit. And I used to love it. He's one of the reasons why I love playing on the road and would do like this, the booze, the antics. He really taught us to embrace you're going to get hated anyway. However, when I played against him, true story, my first time in the NBA going home, I knew the guy. I go up and get a rebound, tap it against the backboard to show how high I could jump. and go down the court. You know, it's like an old trick. You catch and tap it. The next time I go up and I see him, he sticks his leg out and I twist my ankle. I think maybe 17 seconds or 2 minutes into the game, something like that. And I was out probably six games my rookie year. And so even though he's one of my favorite players, it's one of the dirtiest things that I've seen. So I did the game, I believe. I commentated the game when he and Westbrook bumped knees, like after a late timeout. I don't think that was dirty because I've seen players do that their whole careers.
Right.
However, I think the answer is not saying anything and maybe taking one technical with a quick elbow. It's really easy if you don't get caught up in the antics, especially in a 2-3 game series. It's really easy to shut them down because then they start looking like a little clownish. The only way they don't look like a clown is when they bring you into the argument and you have to try to figure out who's really, you know, acting, who's the bad actor in this.
Yeah, no, that's what he did with Morris. He got him worked up. He got into his head. Was there ever a guy in the league that was a talker with you and tried to reel you in?
Not a talker, because you couldn't get me that way. So if you wanted to slide under, the Collins brothers, I hated playing them. Nahara, Mattson, any guy then that would flop smartly, use their brain, get in front of you. But I hated those guys because they got the benefit of the doubt. They're beating you up just as much, and they're getting the benefit of the doubt. And to me, those guys were, I'm going to say, just as effective. They don't have the winning record of a Rodman, but in games, they're just as, you know, as effective as a Beverly as well. So, yeah, those guys, I used to hate playing against those guys.
A team that I find really interesting, Golden State. So Jordan Poole is now emerging as a star. Klay Thompson's not quite what he was off injury. And when Klay plays a lot of minutes, I think it hinders Jordan Poole. And I think everybody knows that on the roster. But Klay's your guy. Okay, Klay's your dude. You travel with him. You've probably gone to weddings. You get into a weird situation where everybody in the damn room's like, "Should do. Jordan Poole needs to play 42 minutes. Tell me how difficult that is when one of your guys, you know, he's eroding, he's not ascending, and here comes the young buck. Can it screw with chemistry?
So I heard you today, and I hope that for fans' sake, you know, I love it when you go off on tangents or rabbit holes, and I hope that you really go down the rabbit hole of the draft pick does not mean as much in big cities anymore, and you're so right. You need to really go down that rabbit hole. I'm sure your researchers can get you a lot of – L.A. didn't get Shaq. You know, they didn't draft Shaq. You know? So I totally agree with you on that. However, I don't know if I can answer this question and not be sentimental, and I think that's the problem that Klay gives. They are a dynasty. They were a dynasty. You're right in every way, but I'm just adding emotion, which you're going to have to take an effect for fans and other things, especially if you don't win one and you're betting on Poole, who is going to be great. But, you know, you would do that to Klay, and he's not yet a full year in. This dynasty never got a chance to win once we saw a team get hurt or KD get hurt. You know, this unfinished business. He's, you know, of course, Draymond with the last, you know, vestiges of that. So if you are right, I would not want to be part of that. I was in Detroit, again, Pistons fan, when we had a parade. And I think the next day, and Rick Moore said, "Oh, thank you for helping me lose all this weight. I love you." And like 3 days later, he was traded for, I believe, Mark McGuire. And I mean, as a Pistons fan, and we won, but I was just hurting, man. And I would not want to be the man that traded Klay Thompson. Because if it, what works? Like, does anything but a championship works? And if not, I think keeping him around, still trying to win a championship, may be the best. But I do think that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is all, it's a relationship business. I mean, the truth is, Steph Curry has made the owner $1 billion easily in value of franchise, in marketing, sales. You do sometimes have to go to your star and say, "Hey, man, this is a go either way decision." I think.
I got to get more form, though. I got to get more. And I think you said Anthony Davis earlier. I'm not taking him. I'm not taking him for Clay, for the community, because it is relationship. So
right.
If we're going to do that, kind of, we got to go get maybe Bill and someone else and give up our picks, because I really believe you on that. But I just don't think, you know, we're going to have to go for a super, superstar, because that's who I believe he would. I still believe he has 2 years left of that.
So let's go to that. Let's pivot to the Lakers. That I think people tell you are who they are. I think it was Maya Angelou who said that. People tell you who they are. Believe them. So when AD came in out of shape off the bubble championship, I mean, LeBron is sitting there thinking, timeout. I'm obsessed with this sport. Dude, I just need you to be in shape as a pro athlete. I would have moved off him there. Buy low, sell high. Now, with the injuries, this is who he is. He's showing you who he is. He's not a workout fiend. He's not really a leader. He's hella talented, but he's hurt increasingly more. What was your feeling when you were in the game about athletes that get hurt? Is it bad form to move off them? Or did you always feel like, hey, man, some dudes, they can't give you 82. They can't. I mean, as a pro athlete, how do you view that?
Yeah, and I was plagued by injuries, or like ankle injuries, things like that. So AD's last injury, you could tell like it wasn't his fault, you know, like Curry suffered injuries. But I think, you know, if you're going to get injured, I want to know what guy will work his, you know, tail off to come back the fastest. So then I have to take your work ethic into account. And so I do think some guys is unfair. And then I do think, as an athlete, you work out a lot so that you can feel confident that you won't have those breakdowns. And then you look at guys that don't work out and you say, see, that's why. And so it's not even the injuries. I just go back to the previous memory of anybody playing with LeBron. That's how I judge players, because I know it's a different day and you can win championships. And I think, you know, my generation should kind of admire the fact that you can go play with friends in free agency. But at the same time, you know, watching a guy like Dirk, even though he won a championship, but you knew he was a winner even before, if he would have never won one, because of how you knew he put Dallas on his back, and you could trust that. He just needed help. I never felt that way with AD, that he just needed help. I felt that he could be that missing piece for someone else, but that no one else could be that. And I don't know when he's proven that. He's a wonderful talent, but, you know, I'm just looking, you know, and he hit some big shots with LeBron. I get that, but, you know, we're talking about him being an alpha, and I don't know when that's worked. So I'm not as high on him, injury or not, being the number one guy if LeBron's not on the team. If LeBron's on the team, he could be number one and two, but if not, I'm not high.
Bill Polian was the GM for the Bills during their 90s Super Bowl run. He also built the Colts into a Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl 41. Worked for the Panthers as well. He's one of the smartest personnel people I've ever met. He knows I think that. And he is now joining us on our Colin Cowherd podcast on a Friday. So it's interesting, Bill. When I look at a draft, it's not more or less interesting to me based on the players. I like the process, the architecture of it. I like the construct of an NFL team and building it. I don't really, the players, it's almost like college sports. You know, when I watch Duke and Mike Krzyzewski, the players come and go. It's the arena. It's the coach. It's his system. It's his offense. So this is being called sort of a low wattage, a low star draft. In your history of doing all these drafts, does this compare to any draft that you recall?
You know, that's an interesting question. It could very well have been 2000. I don't think there was a lot of star power in 2000. And star power is really defined as franchise type quarterbacks. That's right. Really what it's all about. I mean, when you think about all of the Rush people that are in this draft. There are guys that are going to play in the league for a long time and be stars. But the quarterbacks aren't there. And as a result, it doesn't have quite the buzz that it would otherwise.
Here's what worries me about Kenny Pickett. His biggest year was his last year. He had a turnover problem in college. I'm not obsessed with hand size, but it was a Jared Goff issue, and he had a problem securing the football. Kenny has a hand size issue. I think he is big enough, athletic enough, not a huge arm, not a big plus-plus arm, but I do worry that by the end of his college career, you know, he's like a 23-year-old, 24-year-old kid playing with a lot of 20-year-olds, and I don't see a lot of it. I see capable. Is that fair?
No, I think it's a little unfair because what happened was he got a really good receiver his last year at Pitt, and he connected with that guy, and he got better coaching. He got a more pro style approach to the game as opposed to simply pure spread, and so everything fit together for him. So I wouldn't hold the previous years against him. He's growing and developing, and he fulfills virtually every Bill Parcells axiom, which is, you know, one of which is to play 30 games.
Right.
The arm strength is okay. It's not great, but it's okay. And that's all you need as long as you're accurate and you can process. And it looks as though he processes well. He's athletic enough to make plays with his feet and to move out of the pocket and certainly to move within the pocket. And he's got I don't believe that he lacks the it factor. I think he's got it. He led Pitt from behind on a number of occasions this past year. He beat a pretty good North Carolina team in the bowl game. He's got the it factor, I think. So he's going to play. You know, how good will he be? I think any quarterback's only as good as the people around him. I would point you to Alabama's young man last year, who many of the same people were saying the very same thing about. Who is the most successful rookie quarterback this year? The young man from Alabama. Right. So, you know, I think he'll play and be pretty good.
When Josh Allen came in from Wyoming, I had talked to somebody who said he made a mistake evaluating him. He said, I should have taken his greatest moments and considered those more than I did his overall play. Because when you watch his NFL career, you see a lot of his greater moments. And those were sensational, but I didn't take into consideration. He wasn't as refined. Well, he was going to get better coaching in the pros. So when I watched Malik Willis drives the ball, big, chunky, thick athlete, sounds like a good kid. He may not have the most refined tape, but there are moments on it that are wow. How do you judge him, the more raw prospect?
Well, first of all, he's 6 feet tall, and that's worrisome. Short quarterbacks, you know, Doug Flutie and Drew Brees are the exceptions, not the rule. So that's difficult to begin with. Secondly, the arm strength part of it is okay. You know, it's good. It's good to have a strong arm, but that's not what wins in the league. It's processing and the ability to be accurate with the ball. And now he comes in as a guy who essentially makes his living with his legs. He does spectacular things. My question is, can he do winning things? And those are two different categories.
Right.
Completely categories. So I have questions there. Now, his coach, Hugh Freeze, to my knowledge, hasn't had any NFL experience, made a statement that I saw which says, he doesn't know what he doesn't know, meaning the young man doesn't yet know what he doesn't know. And that's true of every rookie quarterback. But the other thing you have to keep in mind is that he's making a big jump up in level of competition. Liberty is below the level of the Mid-America. This isn't Ben Roethlisberger coming in here, you know, who dominated the Mid-America. So there's that. So to me, there are some questions here. And I think but for the rookie salary cap and the fifth-year option, I don't think I'd consider him as a first-rounder. But because of the rookie cap, and because of the fifth-year option, he is probably worth taking a chance on. Because if you hit on him, you got him for 4 years at a low salary and 5 years at a reasonable salary. And if you don't hit, if he doesn't do well, then all you've lost is a first-round draft choice. And that's not insignificant, but it's not the end of the world.
Quarterbacks mean more than ever. They're more compensated than ever. They have more power and leverage than ever. And now many are demanding mobility. It's a new time. It's almost an international soccer star feel, NBA superstar feel. Not quite there yet. But with the Aaron Rodgers situation, I mean, he called out the franchise. He's tried to humiliate the franchise. He's not going to show up to one of his camps, even though they may have young receivers they just drafted. He's not going to show up. He'll do talk shows, game shows. And I think to myself, boy, I almost wonder if Green Bay would be better with an owner who could get on the phone and bark at him a little bit and say, hey, pal, you know, but they don't have that in Green Bay. The other day, Mark Murphy said he doesn't have a 3-year contract. He's got 3 1-year contracts. And I thought, I don't know if he's going to be there for 3 years. I mean, where is your line in the sand on not having leverage with a star, being publicly humiliated by a star, having him not being accommodating? I mean, some of this stuff I look at and think, man, I know he's talented, Bill, but this is a lot. I mean, you go out and take shots at the organization. You can do it with no owner, but it's a lot to deal with. I know, like Debo, he's talented, but how would you have handled this?
Well, Mark Murphy is not only a very smart guy, but a former player. And so he understands the chemistry of the locker room. He understands what the trigger man does for you. He understands the dynamic that guy brings to the team. And, you know, you stretch that rubber band as far as you can stretch it in order to win. Now, in Aaron's case, what was shocking to me was he had to know that Devontae was leaving.
He did.
He had to know it. And yet he still took the money, knowing that he was going to be bereft of his number one receiver. So that tells you, common sense tells you, it had to be about the money. That's what it was about. Not getting me a team, not let me put my stamp on the offense, not let me bring Tommy Clements, is as good as Tommy is, but let me get my contract on here. So there's nothing wrong with that. Every player should do that. But to do it in a disruptive way is really stretching that rubber band. And now, not showing up at minicamp after you've gotten all this money, and the off-season program after you've gotten all this money, that one, you know, even Mark probably has difficulty with that. As mature as he is and as experienced as he is, he's one of the people I respect most in this business. It's got to stick in his craw, and it would in mine. I mean, owner or no owner, I think I'd sit down and say, listen, we need to get some things straight here.
Yeah. All right, let's bring him on, my buddy John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, also host of 3 and Out and the Go Low Golf Pod on The Volume. So I want to go, because you're so connected to the Niners, to the Debo Samuel deal. I said this the other day. Having been in the media for 25 years, one of the annoying things about the younger media, because I think most people work very hard and I encourage and I root for them and I'm going to hire some of them. But there's this sort of just pay everybody, you know, pay Dak, pay Zeke. Well, now the Cowboys, you see what happens when you pay a running back 2 years early. The Cowboys are bailing water. Dak, he's a B plus quarterback. you see what happens when you pay guys like that.
Yeah.
So the Deebo Samuel is, oh, you got to pay him. And my takeaway is A, his style will not age well, period. Secondly, Shanahan leans into that style. Third, Kittle is already sort of a weathered player. So
yeah.
Do I want Kittle and Deebo to be my two highest paid offensive guys? And I said this, go look at the Rams' best players. They're always available. Jalen Ramsey, Matt Stafford, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Bobby Wagner. Always available. Trent Williams been hurt. Garoppolo's been hurt. Deebo's been hurt. Kittle's been hurt. I don't think it's a slam dunk. I would struggle to pay Deebo Samuel.
Well, I think on the big picture there with the Rams and the Niners, philosophically, they play a little differently, right? The Rams are more spread it out, throw it around. Kyle Shanahan, which is ironic because when you think young coaches in football, you think throw it around the yard, score a bunch of points, Lincoln Riley, Sean McVay. Kyle is much more like Jim Harbaugh, wants to ugly the game and have a war zone.
Yep.
And it's separated the Niners, you know, their two playoff runs, two of the last 3 years, because they come in like a heavyweight fighter, Mike Tyson, and teams aren't ready for it.
That's right.
But they lose guys when it's a little off. You lose these Harbaugh, couple, you know, Navarro Bowman, Upati, guys shattering ankles and legs. And
yep.
It's happened a little bit. Kyle Shanahan's running backs drop like flies.
Yes.
His dad's did too, because he will just hammer the run till the cows come home. But I think what complicates Deebo is the guys that got paid, if you're just sitting in Deebo's shoes, you go, I just carried the franchise to the playoffs. And he's not totally wrong.
That's right.
We all witnessed it. You don't need to be, whether you're young or old, we watched it happen. But all the guys that got paid, Stephon Diggs has dominated for multiple franchises. Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams are going to be Hall of Famers on their resume. They've been doing it now for a half decade. Deebo had a 10-game stretch. In 2020, Colin, that was a weird year, COVID. They didn't have offseason.
He didn't play. He
showed up out of shape, too. Now, they like him. He's a good guy. But it's like, that's on his resume. So it's like, well, Deebo, we love you. You're a team leader. You're a team captain. But, you know, I can't give you 70 guaranteed. Now, and he's offended when you offer him 50. But, like, based on your resume, you only have a 1 year of being a dominant player. And your best attribute, you're not catching 100 balls. You're running back, basically, right?
Yes.
And what do we say with running backs?
Can't Don't give him a second contract or a big contract.
But this guy, his personality, people love him. He's such a great player. You can't get rid of him. They're in a weird spot.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to hold out? Is he going to do what these players do now, the hold in? Right? TJ Watt did that last year where you show up to be a good guy, but you don't. Because if I was Deebo's agent, I wouldn't allow him to take another live rep for the Niners in practice or a game. Right? There's just too much. The contracts now are too big. Even if we sign a quote-unquote team-friendly deal, we got to sign the deal before we do it, which is a problem because the Niners are breaking in this new quarterback. They're just in a weird spot with this individual player who's a huge part of everything they do.
You know, it is interesting on the Trey Lance front. I don't like his delivery. I like him. I like his athleticism. He does have a power arm. It doesn't look good at all. I contend they would have moved off Garoppolo already if they absolutely knew he was the guy. So that leads me to the obvious question. You're tied in here. They have reservations about Trey Lance, right?
Yeah, I think these next 2 months, you know, when they're on the field. Now, granted, it's just shorts and T-shirts, but just his command of the offense, his running the offense. I mean, Kyle, again, for a younger guy, is really an old soul. He's much more like his dad, like Bill, very old. He would easily play again with Jimmy Garoppolo if he doesn't think Trey's ready. But Trey's going to get the shot because Jimmy, even though he's technically still on the team, is injured, can't throw. It's all Trey. So this offseason, I would imagine Kyle's going to throw the kitchen sink at him, everything he learned last year, and just evaluate the 2 months of him running all the drills with all the reps. And if he feels good going into the summer, now granted, you know, football, you're not in helmets and pads, the game's way different, but I do think he'll feel better or he'll have his reservations and then Jimmy might stay.
I want to go to the NFL draft because generally I'm pretty wonky on it. I love it. It's a weak draft. It's a bunch of you know, it feels like the first couple of rounds are a lot of second round, late first round players. Even the guys I like, you know, I think Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a really nice player. I don't think he's Chase Young. I don't think he's a Bosa. I don't think he's TJ Watt. And here I was saying this to a friend the other day. A lot of bad teams and bad front offices have multiple first round picks.
I know.
So take me into the, as a former NFL scout, So the Packers have two firsts at the end of the round, late firsts. They have no number one or number two receiver. Randall Cobb is probably a four. Alan Lazard's a four. Amari Rodgers, the slot kid from Clemson, is a fairly weak three. He was like a return guy last year. Metcalf solves a lot of issues. He's like Dez Bryant. He scores a lot. You don't have to love his routes. He's a freak. There's nobody like him. You know, he's a little like Javon Kearse when he came in. It just, there was nothing else like him on the market.
Kind of like T.O. when he was young. It just doesn't look like any other receiver.
That's right. And D.K., Minnesota Vikings weaknesses, their corners. I don't think it's a Bears strength or a Lions strength. So he could really eat up that conference more so perhaps than even the conference NFC West. Would you move picks to get DK Metcalf knowing you'd have to pay him a fortune in a year?
Yeah, I mean, I think the people I've talked about or talked to in the league, once those guys got, once like Tyreek got traded and Devontae got traded, would you do the same thing for DK Metcalf? And the question is, like, the one thing with Devontae, right? Elite character and elite production. Tyreek, you know, for the most part has been, when he plays, like, there is no question about his competitiveness.
Yeah.
He's been, I mean, they've been the best team in the league for basically 4 years running, and he's been their second best player. So you just, you know, you've seen him at the biggest moments. I think there are question marks about DK. The diva, just once you pay him 20, it was thought to be $20 million a month ago. Now you know that number probably even higher. He's got 29 touchdowns in 3 years. He's produced at a really high level.
He's very Dez Bryant. Jason Garrett told me this once. He said, you don't have to love his temperament or the fact that he doesn't run every route. He scores touchdowns, and that's
a lot.
A lot. And that's Metcalf. Yeah. He gets to the end zone a lot.
Yeah, because you just, his speed is elite. I just go back to John Schneider. And isn't the point of being a GM, like, ultimately the Russell divorce had to happen. Isn't the point of being a GM drafting guys in the second, third round and landing guys like DK and then keeping him in his prime? Like, wouldn't you just want to keep him until you figure out your quarterback situation?
Right.
But ultimately, whether Pete leaves in a year or whatever, and you get it, like, John's got a pretty good chance probably of getting another coach, you would say. And he knows him really well. If he's willing to get off of him, wouldn't that be a pretty big red flag? Because for the most part, Seattle always extended their core suite players. Now, they broke up with them pretty poorly, as we've seen. Bobby Wagner, Sherman, ends weird, but they always got second contracts, and DK's earned it, right? Now, you know, Drew Lock, if you want to give him a chance to succeed, why? Oh, the other thing with John Schneider is he's always been adamant, and I agree with him, is they never have 32 players on their draft board that are worthy of a first-round pick. That's why historically when they were good, they always traded out of the first round because it's like, well, I'm drafting 27th, but I'm going to take a guy that I don't view as a first-rounder, then I pay first-round money. So he always traded back and or for players. Now, it didn't always work out, but I understood the logic.
Right.
So part of trading Russell this year, which made sense for him probably, is I get a sweet high pick. So even if I do trade back a couple spots to acquire another second, I'm still picking at 14 or 18, or I want to stay at whatever they're at, 9, right, or 10.
Right.
So he's, to me, he's got a lot of wiggle room to really improve his team and still, quote unquote, be competitive. Now, I don't think Drew Lock's any good, but do they end up with Baker Mayfield? You know, which kind of feels like that's the only place that Baker's going to end up. And then, you know, Baker's just solid. They have some talent around him. You know, maybe they could be somewhat competitive, right?
At The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, go to our YouTube page, At The Volume Sports, subscribe.
The Volume.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into The Volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on The Volume Podcast Network.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Cameron-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.